This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.
Welcome to our second programme about the history of the Joe Mack Show. Now, this programme will be at the end of season show in the Sybil Hill Nursing Home, Colester. We'll meet with well-known entertainer Joe Cuddy and from The Bachelor's Deck Cluskey. Longtime friend of Joe Mack, Jim Sinnott, shares his memories and we hear stories from the founders, Joe Maguire and Robert McLaughlin. But first, Joe Mack travels the length and breadth of Dublin entertaining in hospitals and nursing homes. But the end of season show is the one that all the entertainers look forward to. So, on a pleasant Sunday afternoon, I found myself in the quiet, serene corridors of the nursing home run by the Little Sisters of the Poor in Sybil Hill in Raheny.
Well, here we are at the end of season show, they call it, for the Joe Mack Show. I'm wandering into the Sybil Hill Nursing Home here in Raheny. And I must say, I've passed this building on I don't know how many occasions, sometimes daily, on the 29A bus heading in from Donnymead. And I've often wondered what it's like on the inside. It's a huge, huge building. It's the Sybil Hill building, the Sybil Hill Nursing Home, and it's run by the Little Sisters of the Poor. That's a beautiful, beautiful building on the inside. Very calm, very serene place. Corner shop, which sells everything from stamps to bottles of 7-Up, and even Jaffa Cakes and boxes of milk tray for those that are visiting. But it's a fabulous, fabulous place, and it's deadly, deadly quiet. But I have a funny feeling that that is going to change in the next few minutes as we head into the main auditorium, the hall with the stage and the Joe Mack Show. And just coming up to the entrance, and I see a couple of ladies here who are taking the money for tickets. Let's have a chat with them and see what their involvement with the Joe Mack Show is. And maybe we might get in for nothing as well.
There's a mic singing in there.
I never asked your name, sorry.
Anne O'Neill.
And tell us, Anne,
and my friend, the other girl that I wanted to talk to is Muriel Casey. Sorry.
How long did you say you were involved with Joe?
It's 6 years ago, but I'm not in that 6 years. But I was with them when we were in America years ago. I was doing set dancing.
Brilliant.
Yeah. But Muriel's fantastic.
I worked in the Central Bank before I got married, and there was a chap in the Central Bank, and I was a performer and he was a performer, and he said to me, it'd be great now if you could join Joe Mack, because I used to do all the Christmas shows there. And he said, but they won't allow women in. And I said, oh, well, that's a pity, you know. So anyway, that was that. And then years later, he approached me and he said, by this stage, I had got married and I had two small children. And then he said, he was still working in the bank, and I had left, of course. And he said, oh, they're taking in women now. Would you like to join up? So I joined, and I was with them for a good few years while my children were growing up. And then I left. And then I came back again about, they were going to America, and they wanted to know, would I go to America with them? So I said I would. And so then I went off to America with them, and I went to America with them again a second time, and then I've been with them ever since. And
so you were one of the first lady members of Joe Mack?
Yes. No, I wasn't the first, because, as I say, this chap said to me, and then I was married, as I said, at this time, with the two small children, and then I said, well, no, would I be able to give that time? But then I said, sure, I'll give it a go. And I enjoyed it so much, I did. I stayed on then again. And my husband then would look after the children, you know, and that. But I'm living down in Westmeath now. I used to live in Dublin. So I travel up then to do the shows. We're going to Waterford next Sunday. Nice. We're doing a big show down there for the nuns. We'd go every year.
I thought your piece with emigration was very poignant, and I know you had done some of it in a kind of comedic way, but all of a sudden you changed this.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Well, I was trying to. First of all, I tried to do a bit of comedy. I actually sing as well. I'm a trained soprano, and everyone in Fesh's and everything. But I started doing comedy in Joe Mack, and then Robert said to me, oh, you're very good at doing the comedy. Would you not stick to it? We've too many singers and musicians and all. So I sort of did. But I'm with the Meath Diocesan Choir, and I put all my efforts into that. Liam Lawton set up our choir, and we sing a lot of his stuff as well.
And if I was to ask you, why have you been involved with Joe Mack for so long, and what do you get out of Joe Mack?
I love people, and I love entertaining people, and I love going around all the nursing homes, and I love putting a smile on their faces.
Thank you.
How long have you been coming to the Joe Mac
Show? 40 years to the Joe Mac Show. I started coming when I was about, this is the 60th year now, so all in all about 47 years. I started coming when I was about 13, and that was over in the Father Matthew Hall in Church Street, and then it went on to the Francis Xavier's Hall in Sherrard Street, and then we went on to the St. Anthony's Theatre in Merchants Quay, and then we went on to other little halls around, and now we're here. And it has been a fantastic organisation. It's been going for years, entertaining hospitals all over the years. I brought my children here. I came as a child and then I brought my children. And it's great to know that the theatre and the stage and the entertainment has never died. When you go back up names like Cecil Nash, Cecil Sheridan, Jack Cruise, Frankie Howard, you know, Val Fitzpatrick, they all treaded the boards, and now we've got people coming all the time treading the boards. And if you look at the Joe Mac Show, ordinary families have given their time over the last 60 years to entertain people in hospitals. And all I can say to Robin McLaughlin is, long may it continue.
So we're just backstage here at the Sybil Hill Nursing Home, and it's a hive of activity, as you can probably hear in the background. And what strikes me about this place is that you can wander through the nursing home, it's deadly, deadly, deadly quiet, but you walk out into the auditorium, that's unreal. There's a kind of a very exciting atmosphere, one of anticipation, I think, is the best way of describing it. I think you can hear that in the background.
Joe Houghton.
And where are you from, Joe?
Edenmore,
Haney. Only around the corner.
Corner from, yeah.
And how many years have you been going to Joe Mac?
About 16 or 17. My daughter used to sing with Robert. So when she got married and moved her way, Robert always gives the ring and the bell and the go to them.
What's your name?
Kevin Masterson.
And how long are you involved with
Joe? I'm with the last 3 years.
3 years, yeah. How did you get involved?
Well, I knew about Joe Mac, and I used to play in a band going back years ago. And I said I'd keep up the music, so I joined Joe Mac 3 years ago, so we're kept busy.
Yeah, you know? And this is the final show of the season.
This is the final show. We have one next weekend down in Waterford.
All right, okay.
That'll be the final show. Yeah. So we do maybe 25 shows during the year.
Yeah.
Around nursing homes and hospitals and that. So it's that's a nice thing to do, give something back.
I enjoy it. Yeah. I mean, I can't say I don't enjoy it. I do enjoy it. And at the same time, you're giving something back to somebody who's less fortunate and can't really get out and entertain themselves. You know?
And is this your first time? Or have you been coming? Have you performed before?
In Joe Mac?
Yeah.
Well, I joined Joe Mac in 1963, if you can think back that far. And so I've been with them ever since.
Performing every year.
Right through, yeah.
Are you all here for Joe Mac?
Yeah.
And what's Joe Mac? I don't understand what Joe Mac is. What is it?
I don't know.
Do you not? Is it a show?
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. And there's lots of people that are a bit older than you.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do today?
Dance.
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 What kind of dance?
Irish dancing.
And where are you all from?
Dublin.
Percy
Darcy Academy. Well, now, Sarah Bushland coming along now. She's come all the way from Collinstown, County Westmeath. That's where she lives now. So I want you to give a nice big welcome to. You never know what she's going to do. But anyway, she'll certainly pull something out of the bag, that's for sure. So a nice welcome, please, for Muriel Casey.
Many well-known cabaret artists came through the ranks of Joe Mac. Butch Moore would go on to represent Ireland in the 1965 Eurovision Song Contest. Noel V. Ginnity, Kathy Nugent all became successful entertainers, as did Joe Cuddy. Joe has fond memories of his Joe Mac days, and myself and my dad, Joe O'Connor, caught up with him in his Raheny home.
Through Jim Sinnott and through Robert,
I was a baritone and doing the Fesh at the time. I was a voice soprano first, but then I was in voice training. I was in the Michael O'Connell Singers, which emanated from the Colester Church Choir. We did the Gaiety and the Olympia, you know, with the likes of Alistair Garner and the Royalettes and Johnny Victory from Scotland and a lot of the, and Jack Cruise, the Holiday Hayrides and all that. So Robert asked me would I contribute, you know, several of the shows, and I was always willing to do that. Now, I wasn't on all the visiting ones to hospital and homes and places where he did great work. And it's funny how things come back around to you. I had, I suppose, the biggest hit was Any Dream Will Do. And on the flip side of that was this song called Close Every Door, which was hugely popular with the Jewish community. And Robert was doing a night one night, I think, in Harold's Cross or somewhere like that. I was asked, would I sing it? Well, they absolutely loved it. And I was surprised. And on the same subject, doing one of the concerts that Robert used to organise every year in the Francis Xavier, and always a sellout. I did a good few of those. A priest approached me who was involved. I can't remember his name now. I think it was Father Joe. However, he said, I hear you're doing an audition for Huey Green for Opportunity Knocks. I said, yeah, I am indeed, on Tuesday. He said, you know that song you sang here, Exodus, from the movie Exodus? I say, this land is mine. Yeah. He said, sing that. I said, I was thinking of something lighter than that. No. He said, he's a Jewish man. And of course, that's what it was all about, Israel. Yeah,
that's right,
and the flag of the Jews. And it worked.
Yeah, yeah.
It was successful.
Yeah.
He sat up and I eventually appeared on it and won it.
Yeah.
So a lot of good comes out of something you don't think you're doing right.
So would you say then that Joe Mack was, it helped you along the way?
It did, of course.
Yeah.
Anyway, anybody who's starting out in the business needs something like Joe Mack to get used to. And the more you work, the better you get. You mightn't think so. Even if you do bad on a show, you're still learning. I was always in competitions. I'd impress on young people coming into the business today that to enter competitions, because that's where you get the experience of being able to do an audition. And like when you think of the great artists that today, at the top of their game, still have to audition for parts in movies and parts in shows.
Yeah.
And I always felt that doing something, it was helpful and it was rewarding if you went to Kappa Hospital or something and you did a night with Robert's group and you do a few songs.
Yeah.
And the reaction is lovely.
Yeah.
It's very satisfying. You feel you've brightened somebody's day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there were a lot of great young artists. You know, I remember the Rose Sisters, the Brannigans.
That's right. Well, the Brannigans were part of Joe Mack.
They were,
yeah. For Joe,
I remember
Joe
all those. And the Vanettis.
That's right.
It was
yeah.
the magic touring in England, you know.
Well, one of the features we have of the programme, because it's been broadcast on Near FM, is because it's North East Dublin, right?
Yeah.
And you yourself are living in Raheny.
Yeah.
And your great friend and MD, Jim Sinnott, living up the road, right? Robert living down in Marina, which we'd call it part of North East. So that's one of the significant features, that most of our contributors, who are Joe Mack people, are living in the catchment area of the broadcast area, okay? But Jim Sinnott, he was a great pal of yours too, wasn't he, Jim?
Well, he was, and Jim worked with me from the very first go. I left the Jack Cruise show, and my brother said, what about Singing for Dancing, you know, because he was managing a show band, I think, at the time, the Everglades or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And we decided, I knew all the artists like Joe Quigley and all these, and Kay Delaney and all the professionals
right,
that were in the show biz. And all
Hall, Jimmy Poland.
Oh,
all
those. So we started, we went out to Malahide and spoke to Mrs. McCabe in the Grand Hotel. And she let us have the ballroom on a Wednesday night. So we advertised, and Jim and a drummer and myself, that was the band, if you like. And Jim had his little Hohner organ and foot pedals for a bass and a drummer. And myself, I sang for a few, bit of dancing.
Yeah.
And we had, I think it was Kay Delaney, Clary Daniels, which is one of the Daniels family related to Harry Bailey.
Yeah. And he was a Malahide man himself.
Yeah, yeah. and I think it was 7 and 6 in, and it was packed. And that was the start of the cabaret. Well, we went from the Inn to the Clare Manor there, which was a very big venue, and then ran for 10 years. We also had the showboat Malahide, which was owned by Albert Reynolds at that stage. And so Jim was with me on all those. He was in the Clare Manor for the whole period we were there. And we were very good friends, we still are.
Listen, Joe, thanks very much for your time tonight.
It's a pleasure, and I wish Robert every success in the future as well. I know he was Dublin Man of the Year, and he deserves everything and every accolade, particularly for, I know myself from doing places of seniors, who are seniors now, that the joy that it brings to them, it's rewarding to go in and do it and see them sing alongs with the old stuff. And I had an experience recently where a nun said to me, do you know that nun you went down to and sang a very old thing, The Sunshine of Your Smile? And she was in rapture. It must have been her favourite. Anyway, I just held her hand for a few minutes and sang the thing, and then she spoke to me and said, that was lovely, I remember that song well. And one of the carriers came and said, do you know that's the first words that that lady spoke for 12 months
in his home.
So it is rewarding, it's great. But Robert, I've always felt that Robert, he should be knighted, really, if you could knight him. For the patience to do and organise that, and people getting sick and being let down, and he driving people here and getting into the places and doing it. I think very highly of him, and I commend him for all he's done.
Well, I think, Joe, that's a great tribute after 60 years by Robert McLaughlin and Joe Mack. And thank you very much for your time, Joe.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Back the curtain to see for certain what I...
Now, Joe mentioned his good friend Jim Sinnott, and so it was off to St. Brendan's Church in Coolock, where Jim plays organ these days, and to ask him about his Joe Mack experience.
I got involved with Joe Mack in the early 60s. I'm not sure it was 61, 62, around about that. And I've always kind of played the piano and I played the organ for a while in Arntertu's church. There was assistant organist there when I was in my teens. And a friend of ours, Mickey Healy was his name, actually lived in North Circular Road, next door neighbour to Butch Brewer's, said to me, did you ever hear of Joe Mack? Which I hadn't. And he said, they've ads in the paper looking for people to go down. And I went down one Monday night down to Fairview, where we used to rehearse, just off Griffith, the end of Griffith Avenue there, said the church in Fairview. Miss McIntosh was the lady who owned an old house, and was a real, almost like a derelict kind of a shed thing at the back. We rehearsed there, and they were delighted. They had one piano player, but they were delighted to get somebody else. And there's a guy called Dave Lynch was there at the time. And eventually I took over there, and Dave left, and I went on. And I was there actually in it for 20 years. I think the last show we did was 1980 when we went to the States. It was really good. First night we missed Q, we stayed overnight in YMCA hostel, which wasn't a very nice place, really. But after that, we were put in families around Connecticut, New England, and that was very nice. We eventually ended up down in a place called Williamstown, which is way down deep in Massachusetts. And Butch did one of the shows with us. I actually stayed in his house with himself and Maeve. He was the very first Irish person to represent Ireland.
And he would have been one of the many artists who we say came through the Joe Mack.
Yeah.
Apart from yourself as your MD. And I think you went on to do a bit more than just play with Joe Mack. Did you play
I eventually went on and I played with Joe Puddy.
That's right.
For a while.
In his own group,
yeah.
It was a Clare Manor Hotel.
But
I was just reading through the history of Joe Mack, and you would have come across Cathy Nugent, I presume, in your time.
Yes, I know you, Cathy, very well.
And of course,
she was in the Joe Mack too,
That's right, Con and Dick Tusky.
Yeah, well, they'd been left to Joe Mack by the time I arrived there, but Declan Tusky was in my class in O'Connell School.
Right.
So I remember him well.
Yeah,
and Jackie Smith as well, who wrote the Dana song with Derry Lindsay.
Yeah, yeah. So So there was a good connection. Now, funny enough, I was involved with Joe Mack myself in the late 60s with Jackie Smith and Brendan McGuinness. And a feature of the Joe Mack was the list of venues they went to. So you would have...
I went everywhere, all over the place. I think we even went north one time and went to some obscure hall way, way over. It's County Leitrim, I remember one time he stayed overnight.
Yeah, yeah.
And we went to Waterford. We went everywhere.
Were most of the shows were by and large for charity?
Yeah, the money never really changed hands. Once or twice we kind of did the only real outside show I remember doing was the one we did at the end of the season to kind of raise funds. But everything else was totally voluntary.
Did you hear about the Irish test tube baby? He was born in a bottle of Guinness. He had a very slender body, but he had a lovely head on him.
There is no doubt that Joe Mack has left a wonderful legacy of memories and developed entertainers that went from Dublin to the world's stage. From his home in the UK, Dec Cluskey of The Bachelors has very fond memories of his time with Joe Mack. Dec and his brother Con started their career as a local group in the inner city of Dublin called the Harmonichords.
There was a company in Dublin and they decided to promote mouth organs into schools. And they went to O'Connell's and they got whoever it was in O'Connell's. Now, I can't remember the brother's name. And they made or designed a mouth organ orchestra or band. And I was one of them. And trust me, I wasn't the best mouth organ player in my class. This orchestra got to play on Radio Éireann as well. And I can always remember in the, whatever it was, concert hall. And that was the first show I ever did in my life. And I must have been about, about 12, 14 at the time. Then I went home and convinced Con, my brother, that he should play mouth organ. So that was our career seal, as they say. Con was always going to these little dances, the church halls, as he did in those days, with the priest. He met a guy called John Stokes, and he was with a mouth organ band called the Jackpots, and they had chucked him out. Anyway, he joined us, Connor, myself, and the three of us became the Harmonichords. And then the first show that we ever did as the Harmonichords was at the boxing stadium on the South Circular Road. And, of course, all along the way, it was the Joe Mack Productions in the background. We've got the fondest memories of Joe Mack Productions. We weren't part of the absolutely regular crowd, as you might say, but we always had a call from Mr. McLaughlin to say, and the funny thing was, he has the same name as Con's wife's family. They were the McLaughlins from Bolton Gardens. We really enjoyed all the camaraderie, the fun, the enjoyment, really. I mean, great bunch of lads to be around. And, of course, some huge names came out of Joe Mack. Huge names. But the funny thing is, nowadays in show business, I've got a situation with my daughter, and she was in St. Petersburg last night singing. One night stand in St. Petersburg, can you believe it? She's going to Trinidad next week. For a week, and that's the precursor to a USA tour. And do you know that in the UK at the moment, there's a new group of comics going around, and I think it's called Comics for something or other. It's not Comics for Hospitals, it's Comics for something. And they're doing such good works, because they've found that just keeping people laughing is so good, and particularly kids. Getting into hospitals and just making them laugh.
Smile for me, my darling.
And before we end this two-part series celebrating the legacy and the history of the Joe Mack Show, the final word should go to Joe and Robert.
Well, I suppose doing good for those who needed it, would be the motto in it. Like, there was no charge, and anybody that was in Joe Mack, if they wanted music sheets or anything, they bought them themselves.
Right.
And there was no
subscription into the Joe Max. Everybody took care of themselves. The only time that we introduced funds was a final show in the year in April, around April. We used to go from, we rehearsed from September to October and started the shows then in November and went on till April. And on in the middle of May, we used to have our own finale in the Maples in Iona Road. And that party was funded by a concert we did ourselves in Claude Hall the first year and then in various other places after that. Yeah. But that's how we got the money for the party.
One of the most popular venues that the Joe Max seems to have had from their history, which I'm glad Robert McLaughlin has maintained in archival form, is St. Francis Xavier Hall.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we did a big show there. You see, most of the shows in the hospitals and all were all small.
Right.
Like in small little areas. And when we got on the stage, like at the Francis Xavier's, that was a big thing. And it was a big night for us. And we had, in those days, now I think we had Jimmy Sinnott then playing
That's
the
right.
piano.
Yeah, Jim.
And Jimmy Sinnott was well known around the area.
Again,
he was a great piano man.
And Jim, as you know, is a northeast Dublin man. He lives over in Raheny.
Oh, yeah, and he'd do anything for you.
And he's still playing with the church in St. Brendan's Coolock.
Oh, yeah, I thought Jimmy was great. He used to urge fellas that were singing, you know, urge them on.
Well, I think if you think back, it may be hard to go back 60 years, but I can nearly do it myself. In that period of time from the formation of Joe Mac, there were numerous other variety groups in Dublin, operating in Dublin at the time, right?
Oh, and yes, there were.
Joe Mac was just one of them.
Joe Mac and McGrath, who was a big shot in the latterly in the RTE.
Tom McGrath.
Tom McGrath.
Yeah, he was up beside you, didn't he? Did he not live up in Kenmare Parade or something?
He lived off the North Circle
That's
Road.
Right.
And Tom went to Canada and came back then and introduced the Late Late.
That's right.
To RTE.
And I think
but
Tom...
He had his own show.
That's right. But I think Tom's brother, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't there a vocal group called the Ambassadors? And I think Tom's brother himself, one of those, was in that group at the time, including...
I stand corrected. Yeah, I can't remember.
I could be. I'm almost sure the likes of Des Smith, who lives in Artane here, if not mistaken,
yeah.
He was part of that group. But anyway, that's what I'm saying. That particular period of time in the late 50s, 60 years ago
yeah.
this year when Joe Mac was founded, you were one
that's
of many
right.
variety groups. But I think it says a lot for Robert McLaughlin, to be quite honest.
Oh, yeah.
He's kept it going.
You see, Robert took over from me when I left. And Robert, fair dues to him, he continued on and he travelled even over to America with the show.
That's right.
And places, far off places like that, like that I wouldn't dream of at
right.
the time.
Yeah, very,
but,
very.
But that's how popular it became.
Still entertaining, Robert has some thoughts on the Joe Mac legacy and how he needs new blood to keep the show on the road.
Young people aren't as interested in that kind of stuff anymore. They're not. And you won't get, if you put an ad in the paper, you'd be lucky if they put it in for you. If I hadn't got the Northside People, that's a great paper for our organisations. But it's usually word of mouth and somebody has a friend. Somebody knows somebody who has a daughter who's a good Irish dancer or type of thing. So it's usually word of mouth, and a bit of commitment. So it's an amazing thing in this day and age that we have survived so long. People say it's because of me, but I doubt it. It won't survive unless there's committed people there.
Yeah,
you know.
But how like in the context of like, what's your base group now at the moment? How many's in the base group?
In the base group, yesterday, for example, we had I had about 14 on the show.
Yeah.
I had a guy called Kevin Masterson, great piano player, Val Dooney being style singer, beautiful, beautiful. And another man played the clarinet, Paul Cusack, and a girl singing in the style of Ella Fitzgerald. That's the type of stuff she does. And a little girl of 12 playing the violin, had a magician. Right. And three or four others. So I had a good variety there yesterday. So it's still, but we're all getting old. Like,
it's like you're able to map out a suitable programme for your show based on that.
Yeah, what I have.
15 or 20
what I have,
artists.
Yeah. Yeah. I would really like to see a few more young people that might. I'm sure they're out there.
Yeah.
It's just to get encouragement. I could do it a couple of, for example, I don't know whether I'm using the right word, tap dancers,
right,
you know, or I could do, certainly need two good Irish dancers. We used to always have them, but they're not so easy to come by now. So we need a few young people, because when we go to old age homes, mostly old people's homes, and we were in St. Monica's home there only last Sunday week, first time back there in years, right. Belvedere Place. And so I recognised so many people, and they recognised me from around that area. So we need any young people that might be interested, even to help us on an occasional basis. We don't do as many shows as we used to. We do about 20 a year now. And I say a year, a season, 6 months.
Yeah.
There was a time, 40. There were times we do two or three a week. Yeah. And nobody, they'd all be in. When is the next one? You know, when is the next one? You know. So we're about 20 to 22 shows now, and I find that okay.
Are you able to, for instance, tap into the resource that would be, say, the local musical societies? Mm. I mean, at the moment, for instance, I see there's quite a few in the northeast, particularly Balladoyle, Malahide.
Oh, I know, yeah.
And the O'Connells, actually. I mean, they're another one of our local and maybe we might. That might become maybe some kind of a source for some of your artists, perhaps, over the years.
Yeah, we tend to be a little bit top-heavy with singers some of the times.
Yeah.
And like yesterday was great. We had, it was a real variety yesterday.
Right.
There was no singer immediately after another.
Yeah.
You know, so that's that, and they're all good. Like, you know, they're all good singers. You know, and all amateur, of course.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the whole thing. I would appeal to any young people or dance teachers, or they're out there, because I read about them all out in the Northside People all the time.
Yeah.
They're out there. Don't know how long more it's going to go on, but it's just 60 this year, 60 years the Joe Mac Show, you know. And I would like to think that our legacy is that we have entertained people in a good and a wholesome way, and brought a bit of pleasure into the lives of people. Particularly people who are sick, people who have, like in the hospice even we've been, and people who are terminally ill. We don't stop. We keep going, and I would like to think that we will be remembered fondly, for a good many years to come, even if it dies a natural, as it possibly could, will. I don't know, but my ambition at the moment is to try and keep going another few years.
Well, that's all, folks, to paraphrase a well-known saying. For over 60 years, the Joe Mac Show has been growing strong, and this two-part radio series is a small tribute to the dedication of all the volunteers who have been and still are a part of this amazing entertainment group. My thanks to all the contributors to both programmes. Special thanks to founders Joe McGuire and Robert McLaughlin. And finally, thanks to my dad, Joe O'Connor, for his detailed research and production assistance with the series. The Joe Mac Show is a legacy that will live on with the performers, the audience, and the countless volunteers who all make it what it was and still is. I'm Dave O'Connor. Thanks for listening to The Joe Mac Show.
This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.